Yeah, here we go now, baby. We are right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Before You Bet Super Bowl Best Bets Betting Special. Before You Bet Super Bowl Best Bets Betting Special. Try saying that at home. So it's going to be myself, Jingles, Hitman, John Middlecoff with the best of our best bets for the Super Bowl spreads, totals, props, MVP picks, some weird stuff. Maybe all in one convenient place for you guys to find ahead of the big game. Okay, let's get right into it. Let's not waste any time. Let's start off here with my NFL partner for the season, the man with the sexiest smile in all of sports betting. Jingles, are you excited for the big game?
I'm obviously very excited. 2 weeks, the 2 weeks thing is always so funny too, right? It's like you get, and they opened up the prop markets on Monday. So it's like, you got 2 weeks. You'll be betting like the most efficient props that exist by next Friday. But it's a quiet week, which I like as things ramp up next week.
Yeah, I understand that the Pro Bowl thing doesn't work. It's just not going to work out. And it makes a two-week break seem so long. What they should do, the NFL should introduce a draft lottery, like how the NBA has. Instead of just rewarding the worst team in the league with the first overall pick, and do that the weekend before the Super Bowl, make it like a made-for-TV event. I think it would be very exciting if they did do that. Okay, so we each have our three best bets, and let me explain something right off the top. So my pick to win the game is the Kansas City Chiefs, but that's not one of my best bets. And I say this because I dig into the game. You guys know everything I look at. It's all about stats, and we got some trends mixed in there as well. But basically everything on paper, or a lot of the stuff on paper, says the Philadelphia Eagles. They have more overall talent. However, I think the Chiefs have more talent at where it matters most, head coach and starting quarterback position. And this is a situation that the Chiefs are in a lot of the time, where their opponent on paper has them beat. Maybe they have more talent as well, but we were talking about this. 17 straight one-score wins for the Kansas City Chiefs. They are 7-0 ATS in the playoffs under Mahomes when the spread is inside of 3 points. So I like the Chiefs, but it's not one of my best bets. You like the Eagles to win, correct?
I do, but like when I get into my pick, I've kind of forced my hand because I'm buying something on a price and now I'm going to have to cheer for the Eagles. Like 17 straight one score wins, 12 this year is insane. Mahomes has had just two road starts in his entire career in the playoffs outside of Super Bowls, in basically what is 16 games, excluding those four Super Bowl appearances. It's a team that has just proved us wrong year after year, betting against them. And what that offense was at the beginning of the year doesn't look what it is in the playoffs. It's kind of the old switch and bait as they finally put up 30 points. Let's not put that track record onto what this team is going into Super Bowl.
Yeah, you do get a different version of this team in the playoffs. And if it's a tight game in the fourth quarter, absolutely the Kansas City Chiefs are going to win. So I like the Chiefs to win, but let's get into my best bets. And we're going to start with the total of the game. It was at 49.5 for a while. It's down to 48.5 right now. And I love that because I love the over in this game. So the Chiefs defense, look at the game logs here, guys. They've had it extremely easy and they stink on third down. Look at this run of opponents that they've had since the end of November. Las Vegas, Cleveland, Houston Texans twice, whose offense fell off of a cliff. The Pittsburgh Steelers, whose offense fell off of a cliff. They finally play a respectable team in the AFC title game. And the Buffalo Bills come into town and drop 29 points on them. They're also really bad on third down defense. It might surprise you to hear that they rank 28th on third down. That was one of the reasons why I liked the Bills to go over their team total in the AFC title game. Now they're going up against one of the most well-rounded offenses in the NFL. We know they're fantastic at running it, but they also have two really good wide receivers and a really good tight end. More on him momentarily. So I think the Eagles are going to be able to find their points. And guess what? I think the Chiefs are going to be able to find their points here too. They've had no problem finding offense in the Super Bowl, despite mainly going up against really good defenses. 25 against San Francisco last year, 38 against Philly 2 years ago. They scored 31 versus San Francisco during their first Super Bowl win during this run. And yeah, I'm not going to just disregard the game against Tampa Bay. Maybe some extenuating circumstances in that one with two offensive linemen going down. But yeah, the three of the four games, the offense really did show up in the Super Bowl. And look at the environment as well. For the past month, these teams have been doing nothing but playing outdoor, cold, snow, windy games. Now they're playing in a controlled environment. Maybe open things up for some big plays. Should be helpful for the kickers here as well. How often does a total get burned on a missed field goal or missed extra points? So we're going to go over 48.5 on the total. Jingles, you have a bet on the MVP.
It's a bet on a price. If you're giving me a guy coming off a 3 rushing touchdown, 4 total touchdown game as the number 3 betting favorite MVP in a 1.5 point spread, like this is not like a 3.5 point spread. Like this is a 50 point total and near a pick 'em. And I thought it would get to 2 or maybe 2.5, but it's not. People are sticking to the Eagles. And I think in this spot where we can get Jalen Hurts for an MVP at plus 350, plus 360, plus 370, this is a buy point. I wasn't going in expecting to bet the Eagles. I like them, but if I can get this, now I'm rooting for them. His biggest competitor, obviously Saquon Barkley, 3 touchdowns. He can score 3 touchdowns in a game. Guess what? So can Jalen Hurts. He gets all the carries at the 1 yard line. We've seen it. He doesn't hand him off. It's just in. He gets his center probably much healthier. And this is probably the healthiest we'll see Jalen Hurts since the beginning of December. The knee, the concussion, everything's there. The passing game's back on track. And as you laid out, Joe, it's kind of a Kansas City defense that can be burnt. If they're going to put all their eggs in the basket to stop Saquon, which they probably will, then I think it's revenge time for Jalen Hurts, who has a big chip on his shoulder, and plus 370 for a quarterback in a neutral field game as well.
Yeah, he was pretty good in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, so maybe we see a repeat of that. Okay, Dallas Goedert, I like him to go over his receiving yard total of 53.5 yards, so super reliable here in the Eagles' 3 playoff games so far. He's averaging 62.6 yards and 5 catches per game. You could say he's Hurts' most reliable target. He had 8 targets in the NFC title game. So I like that, but I really like the fact this is a spot I've been in all season. The Kansas City Chiefs defense stinks. They flat out suck against the tight end position. They've allowed more yards than any other team against tight ends. An average of 70 yards per game allowed to tight ends. Schultz had 63 against them in the divisional round. And maybe it's nothing, but I do think it is a positive. He had a career high 170 yards in this stadium earlier in the season. For what it's worth, maybe it's nothing. It's definitely not a negative, though. So, yeah, some good ammo to back Dallas Goedert to go over his receiving yard total. Next up, a little-known player by the name of Patrick Mahomes. What do you like for him?
That fits in hopefully with a Philly winning game script, and that's passing volume for Patrick Mahomes. We released it on the Blitz. Still like it, excuse me, at this price at plus 108. I think you can buy it to even money, maybe even minus 105. Over 36.5 pass attempts, projects for 40.2. We're expecting more of a high volume game, lower efficiency versus this defense, which is the best that he'll see in all of the playoffs. It's interesting. Houston game, 11 attempts under this number. Buffalo game, 10 attempts under this number, yet the total has not changed. Why? Because Houston game, it was just a low play volume game. Buffalo, there were some short fields. The efficiency was pretty high, so going to be a little different. And a big thing here is the indoor environment that increases passing volume, increases passing efficiency. And it's tough to like look back on his game logs to see, because as I noted at the top, this is a guy who hasn't had to play many road games, let alone many indoor games in the playoffs. But in his 4 Super Bowl appearances, he's had 46, 49, 42, and 27 attempts. Yes, those 27 attempts came against the same Eagles team, but they also ran for 6.1 yards per carry in that game, something that Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco will not be doing in this game. We've seen that run game be stale, so hopefully some more volume. This was a team that had one of the highest passing rates in the regular season all year. Their run rate's really high in the playoffs, so hopefully something will change, but the market hasn't really changed too much in terms of where that total is, so expect some bigger passing volume. Don't be fooled by just game log shopping on this.
Okay, for my third pick, I'm going right back to the well. This was one I gave out for the AFC title game. Very sneaky spot. Samaje Perine, the longest reception over 7.5 yards. Let's go, baby. I wish I discovered this earlier. What the hell was I doing? But this is maybe the sneakiest spot of the entire NFL season of any team, of any player. This has hit in 14 of his last 15 games. They sneak him out there seemingly for one play a game. You need a chunk of yards. You need to get a first down. You need to get 8, 9, 10, 11 yards. He's your guy. Sneak him in there. We saw this on the game clinching play against the Bills. They saved the best for the last, I guess, in that one. But very efficient with his targets. They always draw something up at the right time to get him involved in the play. So I'm going to go back to the well on that one. One last time, Perine, longest reception over 7.5. And you're going back to the well. I believe you did this bet for the AFC title game, I think, potentially. Yep. Both teams to score 20 points. I like this bet type. Break it down.
And it's priced exactly as it was last week, 49-point total, 1.5-point spread. Both of these teams, if you look at their team total, their implied odds or their implied team totals are above 23.5. This is going to be a one-score game, likely, right? Exactly what we're expecting from Kansas City. Is it going to be a 24-17 game? Maybe. But, like, it really gives you a few more passes to this 20. It's maybe the most entertaining bet I think you can make, especially at just minus 115 here. It's not too big of a risk, but you get to cheer for both offenses, which is fantastic. And it's a bet you might not have to sweat very late. As we saw, second drive last week in the KC Buffalo game. That's when that hit. These two teams hit in Super Bowl in 2020. This hit the over in the first drive of the third quarter. So it can be an early one. And as I pointed out again, this is not the Kansas City offense that everyone was talking about and grouping them into teams that don't score 30 points in regular season. It's a different offense, and we're going to see both offense really going. And another thing we won't see, Joe, we won't see guys like Marcus Mariota coming in and taking useless snaps there in the Washington game.
Yeah, good
You'll
point.
See something, everything till the end, everything on the table. And 20 points for both of these offenses score should be like, I wouldn't be surprised if it didn't take to the fourth quarter to hit.
Love to see it. Okay, Jingles, that's it for you today. But me and you are going to be back on the day of the Super Bowl. It's going to be the Before You Bet Super Bowl Big Money Bets edition. So we're going to be going heavy with the plus money, maybe some SGPs, some touchdown scores. So we got some digging to do on that. So thanks for joining today, and I will see you again on game day.
Awesome. Now, I did see one thing before I go, Joe. Put us on the spot. Do's and don'ts. I know we're mature men now, and we kind of enjoy watching games by ourselves, I think, as opposed yes. to going out. And you make a great point of not being able to listen to commentary for fights or games. Like, it's the worst. Yeah. I enjoy it. But back in the day, what are some do's and don'ts of going to a Super Bowl party as someone who's invested in the game?
Well, make sure you're picking the right one to go to. It's nothing wrong with if you're getting together with a couple of like-minded, hardcore football fans and you're sitting there and you're invested in the game. Maybe everyone's got a bunch of bets in. But if you're going with a bunch of casuals, make something up or flat out say, I'm not coming. Pretend you're sick. Just don't do it. Do not go. A big-time pro move, if you can do it, take the next day off work. I used to do that before I got into this industry. Then you can kind of go all out, make sure you have a designated driver, of course. And the last thing you want to be doing is hosting your own Super Bowl party. Are you out of your mind? Nuts. I do not recommend that. Have a couple. Do you want to call the party if you invite two buddies over? Not really. But yeah, you're invested in these games every single Sunday. This is the last meaningful game of football in a very long time. So you want to be invested. Are you going to a party or are you watching the game by yourself?
No, I've turned the corner in terms of how I watch the game. I will enjoy watching it by myself in the comfort of how I want to watch it, eating what I want to eat. And it is a different viewing experience, right? Like, this is when the wives and the girlfriends come out and it's like answering all these questions and there's a lot of chit chat. And it's like, it's a different viewing experience. And I'll leave it up to the normies to just have their fun with it. But I'll sit there and by myself at the computer, watching it, looking at stats. I think that's a better side.
That is the way to do it. All right, buddy. Thanks for joining. We'll catch you on game day.
Appreciate it, Joe. Take care.
All right. Next up, it is time to bring in one of the big guns, one of our favorites. We're going to miss this guy, professional sports better Hitman, representing the Minnesota Vikings for some reason today. Hitman, how are you making out?
Closest to Vikings will be to the Super Bowl probably for the remainder of my lifetime. So
yeah, I think that's fair to say. Yeah, some good regular seasons maybe, but okay, let's not waste any time. We're getting right into it here. Best bets. We asked you to come with a few. You got a couple props for us. People are going to want to bet on Mahomes, but you have an interesting way of betting him. So tell us what the bet is and break it down for us.
Yeah. So, excuse me. This is going to be the no fun prop of the Super Bowl. We're going to be betting Patrick Mahomes under 5.5 rush attempts plus money. There is 6.5 out there in like the -145-ish range. And you know what? This is one that you might be able to wait a little bit longer too and just see if this does get bet up by the time game time comes around. But I just think this is too inflated of a number. His rush attempts are obviously way up so far in the playoffs, but he's benefited a lot from having 6 kneel downs in these 2 games. His average kneel downs during the season was closer to 1.5. Obviously, Kansas City is just slightly better than 50% of a probability to win this game. And if they happen to not win this game, probably ends up being a situation where there is 0 kneel downs for Patrick Mahomes. You know, this number, it was just 3.5 all regular season. And it was 4.5 last week. And it's just been adjusted to so high right now. Like, I understand that he had a big rush attempt game that last week and everything, but it's just flat out too high of a number. This is probably the highest number that he's ever had for his career. And as I just said, like, there is the kneel down equity is just not there as much in a essentially pick 'em game.
All right. So we have an under. Let's get to an over. One of his receivers, you don't hear this guy's name that often, but it does pop up every now and then. Break this one down.
Juju Smith-Schuster, over 14.5 receiving yards. Who thought we would have been saying this when he was cut by the New England Patriots and couldn't get playing time there? But, you know, he ran 22 of 38 routes last week against Buffalo. DeAndre Hopkins, who everybody presumed would be the third receiver for this team, was relegated to 12 routes. So I'm pretty confident right now that Juju is the wide receiver 3 for Kansas City. And that's become a more important role since Hollywood Brown has come back, because in 3 of the 4 games where Hollywood Brown has been back in the lineup for the Chiefs, they have run exponentially more 11 personnel, which is 3 wide receivers, than they did earlier in the season where they were running a lot more 12 personnel. So we have an uptick in receiver snaps just to go around for this team. It's Juju that's getting them over DeAndre Hopkins. He had his most productive game last week with 3 targets, 2 catches, 60 yards, and Mahomes missed him open on the 3rd target. So I don't expect him to lose this role. It's just that Juju should not be priced this close to Hopkins and to Noah Gray, in my opinion. I think that there's a little bit of a gap between what the price should be on these guys. So we'll go with Juju over 14.5 receiving yards.
Okay, Hitman. So this is the last meaningful football game that we're going to have in a very long time. It is sad. So how do you take in the game? Are you able to enjoy it, or are you glued to your computer with a big screen over on the other side of you?
I'm glued all day until kickoff comes. And then once the national anthem comes, hopefully I'll have a big bet on the national anthem and I'll be listening to that very closely. And then it's the one game of the year where I'll enjoy myself a little bit. I don't live bet too much. I'll monitor it a little bit, but I'm not like really 100% locked into it. I'll actually try to enjoy myself and have a few cocktails, eat some food, maybe have some friends over. So it's the one game of the year where I'll try to be like a normal person. And I'll try to fit into society and actually have fun instead of being so serious the entire day.
There we go, buddy. Let loose a little bit. Okay, so it's kind of sad because this is the last time I'm going to be talking to you for a while, but we will make sure to catch up at you at some point during the offseason, maybe after the draft, get into some team over under win total. So until then, we really appreciate having you on the show here for the entirety of the football season. Best of luck with all your bets for the big game and enjoy the game.
I'll be talking to you soon, Joe. Enjoy New Orleans.
All right, next up. One of my favorite people in all of sports media. He's been a great addition to the show this season. Let's go down to our guy in Arizona, John Middlecoff. John, are you on heads or tails for the coin toss here?
Tails never fails. Is that the old adage? So,
that's what people say. I always answer back, but heads will prevail. So yeah. I'm going to be on heads this year.
I like it.
All right, so let's not waste any time here. Let's rip through some best bets that you have. Let's start with a good old-fashioned full game spread bet. You are on the Kansas City Chiefs, who are favored by a point and a half.
Well, how do you bet against them at this point, right? I've gotten cute. Last year, I truly believed the Ravens were better, and I stand by it. I mean, you could argue the Ravens minus the quarterback are better than every team this year, but whatever reason, they just get it. I bet on the Bills simply because it's like, well, just – it's bound to happen. You know, Tom Brady and Belichick lost some games. Joe Montana and Bill Walsh lost. I mean, it's football. It happens. Now, after seeing last week, you just can't bet against Magic. You can't bet against Tiger Woods and Michael Jordan and just this special rocket ship that is the Chiefs. So I think big picture, whoever you like in this Super Bowl from a gambling perspective, like, if you do like the Eagles, then you have to approach the props that way. If you like the Chiefs, yeah, you have to approach the props that way. To me, that's the only way to – you can't, like, hammer Jalen, handle – you know, hammer Saquon, and then also take the Chiefs to win. It feels – you know, unless you want to hedge your bets, essentially. But you kind of got to go all in on a side, in my opinion, is the best way to attack it.
Yeah, I'm with you on KC. I mean, on paper, you can make an excellent case here for the Eagles. If you're adding up stats for the entire year, they probably overall have more talent, but I think KC has more talent. Agreed. Where it matters most, at head coach and quarterback. And 7-0 ATS in the playoffs for Mahomes when the spread is inside of 3 points. So if you want to beat them, you kind of have to beat the shit out of them like the Bucs did a couple of years in the Super Bowl.
Well, if I told you right now, like, and listen, Jalen clearly is a good player and probably gets unfairly criticized at times because the bar is so high. But there are issues at times with their passing game. Yeah. If I just took Josh Allen, like if the Bills roster was the Eagles roster with Josh Allen, I mean, I think they would easily be favored against the Chiefs, right? You know, even like I don't even think it'd be a field goal minimum. Like this roster for the Eagles isn't just good. Like, it's got high end impact players, basically every unit, right?
Elite everywhere, basically. Okay, one of the big spotlight players in this game. Some rumblings about a possible retirement potentially if things go to plan here. Travis Kelce, you like him to get into the end zone.
Yeah, I mean, look at his success for this team in big games. This guy scored touchdowns. And I'm also of the belief, I think now that they made the Super Bowl, I lean over 50% chance he calling it quits no matter what. I mean, he's clearly slipping. The regular season is difficult for him. You know, there's nothing left for him to prove. He walks right into the Hall of Fame. You know, Andy Reid, just a... someone who understands history, like Belichick. I think the history of the game means a lot to him. I think Travis means a lot to him. Obviously, he does to Patrick. I don't even think they just emphasize this. I actually think it's the one area where it's a little bit of an advantage because you go, well, Xavier Worthy's coming on, but the Eagles' corners are good. I mean, Mitchell's good. DeJean's good. Well, their safeties, you know, Blankenship and CJ aren't exactly Ed Reed in coverage. So that should be an area where, you know, Travis and, you know, N'Kobe Dean's injured. So you got Owen Burks playing a lot. So I just think it's an advantage for the Chiefs, for Travis Kelce, who, again, I think they are going to make a conscious effort. I don't think he's told anyone behind the scenes he's going to retire, but these people, they've been around him. Travis has been on the team for a long, long time. I mean, him and Andy have been together for now a decade plus. He's 35 years old. His brother just retired. Like, you know, if you have these other aspirations, your future wife potentially is worth billions of dollars. Yeah. So I think they want him to go out on top. Like, I think it would hurt, like, Walter Payton not scoring in the last Super Bowl. I think Andy would really want this guy to get a touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, one of the best big game players in the history of the NFL. Apparently, he's in Happy Gilmore, too. So maybe we start in more movies. All right, Travis Kelce. Okay, I'm happy to see we're aligned on this one. The tight end on the other side, Dallas Goedert, 53.5 receiving yards. You also like him to go over.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is one of the most – I don't. He's not underrated anymore, I mean, because they played in so many big – I mean, this guy's a stud. I mean, if you told Andy Reid right now Travis is going to retire, could he just steal Goddard with him for the next 5 years? I think he'd gladly do that. I expect Goddard to have a big game. You know, I think he's kind of been, I would say, somewhat of the engine to get their passing game going throughout the playoffs. He obviously, you know, had some big plays earlier in the playoffs against the Rams, against the Packers. He's just a stud. So I, you know, this is an area with the Chiefs, you know, the middle of the field is an area that's somewhat susceptible. I think I like that in the Texans game, I took Schultz, his over under in that. So I think it's just an area to kind of hammer there, which again, for a tight end, you don't need, this isn't AJ Brown or Devontae where you're going, well, you could have 130 yards. No, you just need 60, 70 yards. And honestly, with a tight end, their explosive play might be 35 yards. That's a huge chunk of their total. Where a wide receiver, if you're trying to get to that, you know, 100 plus, a 20 yard catch doesn't do that much for it. It's a long game, you know?
Yeah, KC allowed more yards to tight ends than any other team during the regular season. So it is a weak point for them, that's for sure. That's one of my big reasons for liking the over on that one as well.
Even the drop ball to end the Bills season. I mean, the guy could have made a play.
Yeah, absolutely. That would have been a nice chunk of yards too. Okay, last but not least, there's going to be a lot of bets on this guy for the Super Bowl. Saquon Barkley, what do you like or not like for him?
Well, I think he's had a pretty historic run. I mean, he's averaging, what, like almost 150 yards through the three playoff games. It feels like, even throughout the regular season, it's not just the quantity of yards over 2,000. I would say if you just polled a random fan, they'd be like, yeah, he has a 50-yard run every single game. That's what it feels like. I think this is a different animal with this Chiefs team, and I think it's going to be very, very difficult for him to eclipse 100 yards. I mean, you're playing one of the best defensive coordinators. You're playing a run defense that is really, really good. I mean, look at the Packers ultimately cracked because offensively it was so crappy in that game for Jordan Love. I think the Chiefs will have a similar game plan of like, we're going to corral you, but our offense is better, and so it won't all be put on them. So I think Saquon under is a hammer, and I think on the flip side, you know, Jalen, look at Josh Allen, you know, over the course of his career in games against the Chiefs, everyone was screaming last year at Lamar, like, run more. Your quarterback can run a little bit on them. Like, they can beat you, and the quarterback can run for 60, 70 yards. I think Josh Allen throughout his career has averaged, I think, over 70 yards against the Chiefs on the ground. So that's an area with – because they're going to sell out to sell Saquon.
Yeah.
And unlike Lamar, you know, Jalen's – I know he had – was the big run against the Rams to open the game. He's not – I would not viewed as a guy like Saquon that's going to go for 50 yards. You can live with the 10, 15-yard gains. But I could see him having 3, 4, 10-plus-yard runs, and all of a sudden you're around that 50, 60-yard mark. So I like Saquon under, and I like Jalen over running, especially if he's going to be as healthy as he just looked against Washington, right?
Yeah, I don't think Saquon's going to be breaking off a 60-yard touchdown run on the first offensive play of the game for the Eagles. Meanwhile, I like Hurts to score a touchdown at minus 105. I'm surprised it's only minus 105. He has 9 in 8 playoff games, 2 touchdowns, plus 550. He scored 3 against them in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago.
I don't know if stats would back me up, but it feels like the Eagles lead the league in guys getting tackled between like the 2 and 3 yard line, close to the goal line. And then it's just automatic.
Well, that's a big part of it too, right? Yeah. If it's inside the 2 yard line, he's getting pushed in. Okay, John. So that's it for the picks, but I got to ask you, you're a guy who's obviously super locked in to these games. So what do you do for the Super Bowl? Are you in a room by yourself? Are you in a room with a bunch of other people? I doubt you're hosting a Super Bowl party. So what do you have planned for the game here on Sunday?
Yeah, usually just, you know, my fiance, pretty mellow. I take it pretty seriously. I've gone to some Super Bowl parties as I've got into this profession of talking about football for a living over the last decade. I'm a little uncomfortable in it. too much BSing going on. I mean, like for you and for anyone that does what we do, Sundays are a big work day for me. They're not, I don't usually watch games with other people.
Yeah.
Heck, I even kick her out of the office sometimes and just watch games by myself, taking notes. So it's Super Bowl, make some food, order some food, but it's usually at most one other person. Maybe as you get older and you have kids and stuff, that could grow a little bit, but my Super Bowl party days ended a long, long time ago. Just sad. I mean, I'm an outlier.
It's the last meaningful game for a very long time.
How about you? Do you watch?
So you got to lock in. I used to go, you get together with a bunch of guys, and then there's a bunch of guys there who don't even watch football, and they're just there bullshitting the whole time. And then it gets to be a smaller group of friends, guys who are locked into the game and like to listen to the commentary. Now, the past three Super Bowls, I've watched by myself. My oldest son's only 7, so he can stay up. We're here on the East Coast, so it gets to be past his bedtime. He'll watch the first quarter, ask some questions about the game. So that's a fun little tradition. But I like to listen to the commentary, lock in. I'm interested to hear Tom Brady on the call for the game.
What's the kickoff time? 5 o'clock Eastern?
6:15 Eastern.
So it's kind of like a Monday Night Football game.
Yeah, pretty much.
A little earlier, I guess. It's kind of just a made up time.
Yeah.
There's no kickoff during the season at that time.
No, it makes sense that they do it earlier. It's I agree. It's more of an inclusive thing, especially on a Sunday night where a lot of people had to work the next day and stuff like
lunch,
that.
Lunchtime, like noon Eastern, is probably a little too early. You don't want to go too late. So it's kind of that sweet spot between 4 to 6 range.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with the time. I would like to see them move it to Saturday, though. They talk about how if they extend the season an extra week, though, there might fall ahead of a holiday or something like that, potentially, so people have the next day off. So
they're extending the season. It's coming.
Yeah, a lot of money to be made there, so they will absolutely do that. Okay, John, so this is going to be the last time we talk to you for a while. We've really loved having you on the show all season.
Thanks for having
me. Great addition. We've loved your insights every Wednesday on the show, but we will make sure to catch up with you during the off season. We'll hit you up before the draft, maybe do some over under win totals once the rosters get set and those win totals get released. So until then, best of luck with the bets. Enjoy the game, and we'll talk to you next time we talk to you.
Thanks. Appreciate you. Talk soon.
All right. That does it for the Before You Bet Super Bowl Best Bets edition of the show. Thank you guys very much for joining. Do not forget that we're going to be back on game day, the big money bets edition of the show, our favorite plus money plays for the Super Bowl. If you want more on the Super Bowl, though, make sure you head on over to covers.com. We have an avalanche of information, picks, trends, everything you need to win for the big game. Enjoy the game and best of luck with your bets.